may be seated. Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Search us and know us. Help us to see our sin more clearly, that we may see our Savior more clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll begin at verse 1 and continue through verse 10. We'll also be looking at Lord's Day 44. Lord's Day 44. James chapter 4, if you have a Bible from the back, is found on page 1633. 1633. Lord's Day 44 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal is found on page 893. First, looking at the Word of God from James chapter 4 at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God from James chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Looking at Lord's Day 44. Lord's Day 44. Where we look at the 10th commandment, and we're going to be looking specifically at question answer 113 and 115, but the whole Lord's Day too. Question answer 113. What is God's will for you in the 10th commandment? That not even the slightest desire or thought contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in our hearts. Rather, with all our hearts, we should always hate sin and delight in all righteousness. Question answer 114. Can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? Answer, no. In this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of disobedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some, of God's commandments. Question and answer 115 asks, since no one in this life can keep the 10 commandments perfectly, why does God want them preached so pointedly? Answer, first, so that all our life long we may more and more come to know our sinful nature and thus more eagerly seek the forgiveness of sins and righteousness of Christ. Second, so that we may never stop striving and never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, so that we may be renewed more and more after God's image until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider the 10th commandment, I would like this to be an exercise in which we use the Word of God as a probe to go deep into our hearts and to see more of our sin, that we may see more of our Savior and our need for Him. James, the brother of Jesus, is writing to us a very convicting passage. It's one of my favorites. Might sound strange, but it is. The Lord has used this passage mightily in my life, and I pray that He would do the same for you. We all have sinful desires within us. Why do we fight with others? Why do we lust for what we do not have? Why do we hate other people and covet their life situation and stuff that they have? Why do we do that? It is because of the desires of the flesh that dwell in our old hearts. And the thing that James points out in verse 2 is that you fight and war, and yet you do not have. You do not have. You do all of this stuff. You go on sinning with lust and murder and covetousness in your heart. You go on doing that, and yet you still do not have. You do all you can to get what your sinful heart desires, and yet if you do that, you still will not have the satisfaction that you sinfully desire. If you desire the next high and are all consumed with it, what will you need when it's over? More drugs. The person who cheats on his spouse rarely cheats once. Most of the time it happens again and again. You buy the next great thing trying to keep up with the Joneses, and how long does that last? You hate someone else because you want influence and power, and once you've got a little bit more, are you satisfied? No. Those who are given over to money need more money. Those given over to having more power need more power. Those given over to fame need more fame. Those given over to sex need more sex. Those given over to drugs need more drugs. And so James is saying, you fight and war, and yet you do not have. And you do not have because you do not ask. This is a very convoluted sentence. There's a lot in here. Essentially, what James is saying is that for the Christian, we all have desires to be loved, to be satisfied, to be happy, joyful, hopeful, to have meaning and purpose, to be appreciated and encouraged. Those are general human desires that we were created with, and they're not by themselves bad desires. But James's point is this. If you seek to have those desires fulfilled by following after your sinful heart, then you will seek to have love, be satisfied, happy, joyful, hopeful, to have meaning and purpose, to be appreciated and encouraged by means of fighting with others, lusting, murdering, and coveting. When you could be loved, satisfied, be happy, joyful, hopeful, have meaning and purpose, be appreciated and encouraged, if all you did was seek those things from Christ and ask Him for them. And then verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. James is responding to the person that says, but I do pray for the Lord to fill me with His love and to be satisfied in Him and so on, and yet it didn't happen. I prayed for it, but the Lord must have not heard me, or He ignored me. And James says, It isn't because of that. It's because you ask wrongly. You ask for God to grant you certain things, not because you're actively seeking Him, but because you want to spend His good gifts on your sinful pleasures. This is now getting to the very deepest point of our depravity. What are the motivations of our hearts? Why do we do what we do? If it would be like if you ask God to satisfy you with a good job, only so that you would have lots of money to spend on getting more toys. Or if you ask God to help you get a paper done for school, only so that way you would get good grades and have more time to socialize and play games. We've all been there. Or asking God to help you listen to your parents only because you're scared of being disciplined. Or because you want praise from your parents. Or asking God to help you write a good sermon so that people would praise you for how good of a preacher you are. What is the motivation behind what we do? Why do we do what we do? Where is our hearts? Are we seeking to do what is glorifying to God? Or are we seeking to serve ourselves? Are we seeking to build up Christ's kingdom? Or are we trying to build our own little kingdom here on earth that serves us? What is the motivation of our hearts? And what we often see is that there is many times an evil one. And sometimes a mixture of good and evil. And I'm sure we've all been there, haven't we? I'm sure we've all been there where we have that fight that's going on within our hearts. It's a real wrestling match, isn't it? Between wanting to do the right thing for the right reason and doing something that outwardly appears to be good, but doing it for our own benefit. We must hate all evil. We must hate it when it's outward, and we must hate it in our own hearts. We must hate the evil that we do with our mouths and our hands, but we must also hate the evil motivations of our hearts. We must check the motivations of our hearts. And we have to see that many times we are what James says, adulterers and adulteresses. Because even if we do the right thing outwardly, we often do it in service to ourselves. We oftentimes do it because we want to be God. We many times, even if it's only in part, do an outwardly good thing for our own pleasures. You can have a lot of examples, to the example of helping the little old lady cross the street. Why do you do that? Why would you do that? Would you do it completely out of selfless love for that little old lady? Or would you do it because I want to help and it would make me feel better about myself? Or why do you shovel the neighbor's driveway? Yes, no, so it's applicable. Why do you do that? Do you do that because you want to feel good about yourself, that you're useful, and that you did your good deed for the day? Or maybe because you get paid by them, and so that would be a good thing. I want to make money, so I'll do it for that. Or do you do it genuinely because you want to serve? Or children, why do you clean your room? Is it because if you don't, you'll be punished? Or is it because you want to hear those words of praise from your parents? Good job. Or do you do it because you want to serve your family? Serve your parents? Take care of the things that God has given to you and glorify Him with them. We could give tons of examples, couldn't we, in life? Where we have to check our motivations and make sure that we not only do the right thing outwardly, but we do the right thing from the heart. We are, of course, called to be a holy people, to love the Lord selflessly with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, and do all things for the glory of God. Therefore, we cannot and we must not be content with ourselves that we have done the right thing outwardly if we have not done the right thing inwardly. We must hate all the evil that we see in ourselves. Christ did not die on the cross for us to remain in our sin. Christ saved us and has called us out of our sin to live before His face a life of holiness, devoted in selfless love to Him. And it's part of the promise of the covenant of grace, as we read in Jeremiah 31:33. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's the promise that the Lord would write His law on our hearts and minds. What kind of person would we be if we say with our mouths, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We follow Him with outward actions, but our hearts are far from Him. Our hearts are seeking to serve ourselves rather than the one we profess to be our Lord and our God. What kind of person would we be? The charge of adulterers and adulteresses is appropriate for us many times in our lives, isn't it? In fact, it's true in every moment of our lives. Because there is always a part of us that is seeking to serve ourselves. There is never a moment in which we can say, I love the Lord with all that I am, and I love my neighbor perfectly as myself. There's not a moment in our lives we can say that. My brothers and sisters, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. For as we read in verse 6, God resists the proud. If we think we're pretty good all by ourselves, if we think that we deserve salvation because we're so great, or if we think we're really not that bad and we really don't need Jesus all that much, God resists the proud. Or as Jesus says in Luke 5:32, I've not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. For God gives grace to the humble. If we confess and repent of our sin, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be given saving, cleansing grace. Therefore, verse 7, submit to God. Go to Him in humble submission. Resist the temptations of the devil, and He will flee from you. Which directly connects to the next verse, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Go to Christ. Go to Jesus, so that He can cleanse your hands and your heart with His cleansing, innocent blood. Draw near to Christ, and not only will He cleanse you, but He will sanctify you and lift you up. He will exalt you. He will cause you to walk more and more in humble submission to Him. But this is not a message from God. I hope we see this. This is not a message from God where the Lord is putting us under His thumb and driving us into the ground. We have to see the severity of our sin. We have to understand how grossly we have offended the majesty of God. We have to see how wicked we are, and that wickedness is not just on our hands or on our mouths, but it is in our hearts. And we have to see that what the Lord is saying to us here is that I have come to crush your old self. I have come to destroy your sin and your old sinful nature, that old dead heart. I have come to destroy it and to raise you up anew in Christ. It is a message of come humbly to me, knowing who you are in yourself, a rebellious, treasonous sinner, and I will lift you up and exalt you in resurrection glory, and now you are called my child. My child. This is a sobering passage, isn't it? This isn't light and fluffy stuff. This is hard. But that's what makes this such a meaningful passage. Because here we see the depth of the love of God. Why would He want to give us grace? Why would He want to draw us near to Him? Why would He want to lift us up, literally exalt us, after everything we have done to Him and continue to do? Why? And the beautiful answer is because of the great love with which He has loved us. Because of the great love with which He has loved us. Brothers and sisters, may it ever be our prayer that the Lord would break our pride, that we may abide with Him forever. And may we check our hearts and wrestle that old dead heart to the dust, that we would seek to walk in the life that Jesus has given to us. That we would seek to do all things out of sincere and genuine love for our God with all that we are, and for our neighbor in selfless love. And that we would seek that the guiding motivation of our heart would not be to glorify ourselves or exalt ourselves, but that we would seek to glorify God in all things. For we see Him as all glorious, as the one who has saved us, even from our own dead hearts. My brothers and sisters, let us open our eyes to see that any attempt that we have to exalt ourselves will only end up in complete failure. Because every attempt that we have, as James says, to fight, to covet, to murder, to lust, we try all those different ways of exalting ourselves. And where does it get us? It gets us nowhere. Nowhere. We still end up with nothing. My brothers and sisters, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And when you come to the Lord Jesus with nothing in your hands, you are lifted far higher than you could ever possibly dream to lift yourself. You are raised up and exalted in the love of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You, we confess to You our sin. We see the wickedness of our own sinful hearts. We see how often we have done things without any consideration for service to You or to glorify You. That we make so many choices in a day based on what do we want? What would be most satisfying to me? What would give me the most glory? What would make me look good among other people? What would give me more power? What would increase my wealth? And yet, Heavenly Father, that's completely the opposite of what we should be and of what Christ has saved us to be. And so we pray, Lord, that You would convict our hearts and that You would truly write Your law upon our hearts and minds, that we would seek to do only that which is glorifying to You and beneficial and edifying to Your people. Break our pride, Heavenly Father, whatever it takes, whether that's trials or tribulation, whatever it takes, break our pride and help us to rest and trust completely and solely in Christ and in His salvation alone. And may we live our lives knowing that we have already been given everything in Christ and all we have to do. is go to Him. And may we go to You, Lord Jesus, early and often. Bid us to come. Compel us to come by Your Holy Spirit. Let us never wander. Continue to remake us and mold us in the power of Your Spirit into Your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.